हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ओम् गणानाम् त्वा गणपति दक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने ओम् బృహదారణ్యకం. బృహద్ మీన్స్ బిగ్, అరణ్యం మీన్స్ జంగుల్, అండ్ ఆరణ్యకం యాక్చువల్లీ ఎనీథింగ్ పర్టిన్ టు అరణ్యం. ద టీచింగ్ ఇట్ టేక్స్ ప్లేస్ ఇన్ ద జంగుల్, ఇసన్ట్ ఇట్ లిటిల్ 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 మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ బృహదారణ్యకం. ఎనీవే, యూ బీన్ సీయింగ్ దిస్ ఉపనిషద్ and instead of making you feel tired of reading the mantras, I thought let me initially I want you to have a clear understanding of lot of subtle things that we need to know from this Upanishad. And we have seen, until now we have seen the contents of first three Brahmanams, and each in the very first, we are still in the very first chapter, the very first prathama adhyayah. First chapter, Prathama Adhyaye, in the first chapter, we have seen the contents of first three sections called first three Brahmanams. So, in the first Brahmanam, we understood there is a meditation prescribed, discussed, and that is Ashva Upasanam, Ashva Virad Upasanam. Meditation of the Virat is the Upasya Devata, and the horse Ashvaha is the Alambanam. Ashvaha, the horse used, worshipped in the Ashwamedha Yaga, is the Alambanam. And the second Brahmanam also is a Virat Upasanam, wherein Agni Virat Upasanam, where Ashwamedha Agnihi, the fire kindled to perform the Ashwamedha Yaga, is taken as the Alambanam, that Upasanam. And the third we saw is Udgita Brahmanam. So Ashva Brahmanam, then Agni Brahmanam, then we have what now? Udgita Brahmanam, the third section. And Udgita Brahmanam, I told you already, Udgitaha is nothing but Omkaraha sung in high pitch, is called Udgitaha. And here Udgita is a name attributed to Hiranyagarbha. Therefore Hiranyagarbha is the Upasya Devata in the third section. Therefore, it is called Udgita Brahmanam. And here, the Alambanam is Prana. So, Prana Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. So, Hiranyagarbha Upasanam here. And in the context, we also saw how glorious Prana is. We just took only the Prana, the topic of Prana. We understood how Prana is endowed with many virtues. In the context, we also understood what is Asura, how in this Upanishad, even though the Asuras and Devas are described elsewhere also, in this Upanishad, in this section, how our own sense organs, our own organs of actions, karma indriyani, jnana indriyani, our own thoughts, and our own intellect and mind can become Asura or Deva. We understood all those things in the previous classes. And in fact, when our intellect, in terms of knowledge of right and wrong, governs our desires, the mind, in terms of desires. Intellect here, I mean the knowledge of right and wrong. Dharma, adharma, vivekaha is what? Intellect, in terms of knowledge of right and wrong, governs, overpowers the mind, mind in terms of the desires, the likes and dislikes. When intellect governs the mind, when the knowledge of right and wrong governs our desires, our likes and dislikes, naturally, then all the, we have mastery over our ways of thinking, then our indriyani are all involved only in the functions which do not distract the study of the shastram, or living a Vedic way of life. Our organs actions also be involved only in the actions which are not against dharma. Therefore, then that is when we have the disciplines called Shamaha and Damaha, mastery over our mind, thoughts, and mastery over our sense organs. Then all these powers, they associate only with the right actions and right behavior, themselves become devatas. We don't need to do anything, they are devatas. The corresponding total powers. When all these subtle powers are looked upon as devatas, naturally the person entered the powers also is what actually Hiranyagarbha, the position changes. For a person to become the total and to see oneself being emancipated from the whole as a total, that itself is an expansion of the understanding, the mind, in which one sees one's own powers as identical with the corresponding total power, and then one can see oneself being non-separate from Ishvara, the whole, at the relative level, not at the absolute level, relative level. This is called individual uplifting oneself to the position of being the Hiranyagarbha. And actually the Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, I also said one more thing, the person who is given to the practice of Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, the meditation, definitely will be like a prana, can contribute for the social well-being. How prana is supportive of the very life of an individual, also this person who practices the Upasanam also will be support for the society like a prana. And even Hiranyagarbha, after that he had attained Hiranyagarbha position, that also we saw, understood that in the previous classes. Now, and toward the end, we saw the Japa Mantra. The Japaha in this section is called Abhyarohaha. Japaha, in other ways, called Abhyarohaha. Because what is Abhyarohaha? It's called Abhyarohaha. The more we do the Japam, repeat the mantra, it really uplifts a person. And especially the Japa Mantra, Japa meant for, the mantra meant for Japa in this section is actually Asatoma Sadgamaya. We also saw the meaning of that mantra in this context. Isn't it? It's a prayer for knowledge of right and wrong, and a prayer for the strength to do the right, to refrain from the wrong, and a prayer for knowledge of right and wrong, and then thereby prayer for converting oneself from the state of being a jiva into a Hiranyagarbha, an elevated, uplifted status, isn't it? Position. So we saw these three, the content of these three sections. But now, understanding of Hiranyagarbha continues again. And the fourth Brahmanam is called Purusha Vidha Brahmanam. Purusha Vidha Brahmanam. Now, because I've been repeating for quite some time, repeatedly listening to me, you all have understood what now. Whether you know the Upasanam or not, at least you know in the first chapter, the first section, the meditation prescribed is what? Ashva Virad Upasanam. It's called Ashva. Ashva Brahmanam. We have Agni Brahmanam. So then we have Udgita Brahmanam. Now we have this fourth chapter, the fourth Brahmanam, the fourth section. It's called Purusha Vidha Brahmanam. So here also, before we enter there, I want you to understand certain things. In the very beginning of the chapter, I said, the whole of first chapter, is presents the Adhyaropaha. The whole of second chapter presents the Apavadaha. Which means, Adhyaropaha means what? Adhyaropaha. The second chapter discusses the Apavadaha. We're presenting these two, Adhyaropaha and Apavadaha. Finally, what Upanishad expects is to help us arrive at reality. Vastu, the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, obtaining as one's own self, thereby known by another term Atma. That is the purpose. Even though we talk so many things, ultimately what is the aim? Adhyaropa apavadhabhyam nishprapancha prapanchate. What is aimed at is, ultimately, we need to arrive at the reality. And we know very well, understanding, arriving at the reality means not simply saying it is, really clearly seeing, appreciating the fact of all that is, there is only the reality. We have to understand the reality, assimilate what the reality, how reality is in terms of its nature. Then from the standpoint of the reality, when you see the duality, you can resolve the divisions, you can resolve the differences, you can resolve the individuality, you can resolve even the plurality, you can resolve all the differences, divisions. And the individual total difference also, we can duality also, we can division. All the differences and divisions, plurality, multiplicity, duality, everything can be resolved cognitively from the standpoint of the reality. If we have not yet understood what the reality is, we have not yet arrived at the reality clearly, and how can we resolve the differences? That is why, unless you arrive at the reality, there is no way of seeing the non-difference. It is simply saying there is no difference means it doesn't make any sense. It's exactly like what? When I say, wave is non-separate from the ocean, from the standpoint of the water. It's very clear to understand, to say that. But really, unless you see the fact, water is the truth, the only reality is water with reference to ocean, you have to arrive at that fact first. Only then, from the standpoint of the water alone, you can say there is no ocean, there is no wave. It is possible to say. But remaining as the wave, seeing only the wave, and say mechanically saying, wave and ocean are one essentially, or wave is non-separate from ocean, there is no wave or ocean, means it's mere prattling, isn't it? For us to say, we have to see, go beyond this means, see through, this waveform, really understand how wave is only a form which doesn't have existence of its own, its appearance of the truth called water alone, and that water, how water is the truth must become very clear. It is standpoint, very important is what? We talk about the non-duality, what is the standpoint? Very, very, very careful. That's why it's not for loka vivahara. Advaita jnanam, advaita darshanam is not for, for us to have the clear vision, for us to be strong, for us to be objective. And that is where our transaction will be different, our attitude towards life, view, people, everything will be different. That is where our freedom is. Jnanam is not for even exhibiting or anything. It's for our own well-being. The holistic, people talk about the wellness, holistic health. They talk about everything. Absolute wellness is only in maintaining our mind, isn't it? How I keep my mind, where I... Really speaking, all relationships, anything will be perfectly alright only if I am okay, my mind is okay. And for this, the mind has to be perfectly well, and that total wellness of the mind, well-being of the mind, is only in understanding what is the truth beyond the mind. So, whole Upanishadic effort is to help us understand what that reality is. Not simply saying, even repeatedly saying the reality of the whole cosmos is can be arrived at only as one's own self. As the one's own truth means, this is how it's available. That is why we say one's own. What one's own means what? What is own? There's no own or anything. We have to say one's own, again from the standpoint of the individual. Isn't it? One's own means what? Where is it available? How is it available? How to recognize it? That Upanishad reveals it openly. It says, come on, don't need to go and search for anywhere else. The truth of the entirety is available for recognition. Not as an object, that is as one's own self, as one's own truth means in one's, it is the mind. It is the mind where truth has to be searched for. It is the mind truth has to be arrived at. That to even the mind, there's so many varieties of thoughts. You have to go to what? The last thought. The first and the foremost thought. You today we are going to see that, okay? We are going to see that particular thing. We want to understand Hiranyagarbha in that context. And that first and the foremost thought, without which no other thought is possible, without which the instrument of knowledge called antahkarma, internal organ of knowledge, instrument of knowledge called mind, is not possible. That one thought. That's why sometimes in some context, the whole antahkarna is said to be ahankara. The thought, isn't it? And that is what you need to see. What is that? But then where the reality is. The only way to arrive at the reality is not simply arriving at it. Afterwards also you have to see repeatedly how that reality arrived at as the swarupam of that I is. What is its nature? That has to become 100% clear. Only then from the standpoint of the reality alone you can say all that is there is only Brahma. All that, in spite of experiencing the divisions and duality, in spite of perceiving the plurality also, you can say everything is mithya. Exactly, you can say mithya means everything is as well as non-existent. What is absolutely real is the non-dual reality. So non-duality of the reality, that vision has to happen. I'll become assimilated. In that you really see that I is only the manifestation of that truth. Manifestation means what? Mithya. It comes and goes. Manifestation also is what? Manifestation which comes and goes. The source of manifestation alone is Satyam. The standpoint of that understanding of even how I is manifestation of knowledge, obtaining the form of thought, you can understand all other thoughts, all the cognitions, all emotions which constitute the antahkarma itself is manifestation which is mithya. And from the standpoint of the thoughts alone, you have to see how the sense powers are mithya, how the all the powers of organs and actions are mithya, the physical body is mithya. You have to see the mithyatam of the words. And you have to see the mithyatam of the forms indicated by the words. You have to see the mithyatam of the whole jagat also. Mithya means thoughts are mithya, cognitions are mithya, why? Manifestation is mithya. Then what is satyam? The source of manifestation alone is satyam. So this is a clear understanding how in any physics lab or in a biology lab, any experiment, when you experiment anything, how you arrive at the fact and you see what is, seeing what is within whatever is experimented, you see what is. Any analysis is for understanding what is. So here also, this is the analysis which helps you arrive at what is absolutely. Then that knowledge of that absolute reality, it is possible for us to be objective. That is when real objectivity comes. Only in objectivity there is freedom. That is when you will not be, naturally you will not be subjective. You will be naturally objective. That's why it always said, subjectivity is bondage. Being subjective is bondage and being objective is freedom. You don't internalize. Because you see everything from the standpoint of the truth. If you don't see the truth clearly, how can you see everything from the standpoint of the truth? Why do we need to see the truth? Why do we need to know the truth? Because our perspective of everything must be from the standpoint of the truth. Only then our perception will be a right perception. So not knowing the truth and from any standpoint where we see, and that definitely the perception will be distorted. That is where the whole samsara, the whole bondage, all misery, everything is there only. Therefore, here ultimately the vision of the truth is the aim of this, which is Brahma Jnanam, is the aim of this, the prakriya, Adhyaropa Apavada prakriya. I have told you many times before, but here the whole first chapter, what now presents the, discusses the Adhyaropaha. Adhyaropaha itself means what? I told you many times again, accepting everything and anything which is as it is, as real. Even though what is perceived now is real for us, even though Shastra repeatedly tells us it is not real, it is mithya. But now Upanishad itself helps us accept the whole universe, the whole creation, the whole life, all our experiences, our actions, the results of action, the laws, everything as real. I mean, the whole universe is accepted as reality. It's called Adhyaropaha. Therefore, to say what is the world, what is this universe now? The universe is accepted as real. What is this universe? This universe is nothing but, you say, the manifestation of knowledge. So the manifest universe means what? The universe which is available for experience, perception, interaction is called manifest universe. Therefore, this universe, this entire objective universe, which is available for perception, interaction, knowledge, experience, is the manifest universe. Means there is also a universe, the same universe, there is a time it is not manifest. We call it unmanifest universe. So the universe has to be understood as what now? Not only the manifest universe, we have to think of the universe which obtained potentially is avyakta prapanchaha and vyakta prapanchaha. Avyakta prapanchaha, the unmanifest universe, and vyakta prapanchaha, manifest universe. When the universe is unmanifest, all these forms, names and functions, and every class, purposely I repeat this, for you to see the fact, universe is nothing but forms, names and functions. No, the most the important definition of the world set given by Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada himself. Isn't it? Nama Rupa Karmatmakam Jagat. What is this universe? Forms, names and functions constitute the universe. These forms are undifferentiated, names are undifferentiated, and also functions also undifferentiated when the universe is unmanifest. The unmanifest universe is called avyakta prapanchaha. When the universe is unmanifest, all of them are undifferentiated. This undifferentiated is called avyakrita prapanchaha. Avyakta prapanchaha is avyakrita prapanchaha. Unmanifest is undifferentiated. Okay? Now we accept that. We accept there is unmanifest universe which is real. An unmanifest universe which is real alone becomes later on manifest. When manifest means it is available for interaction, perception, enjoyment, experience. Then we call what? Vyakta prapanchaha. When it is manifest, it is differentiated also. It is a vyakrita prapanchaha. Okay? The being available for differentiation, categorization is called what? Vyakaranam. Is a vyakrita prapanchaha. Avyakte avyakritam. In unmanifest, it is undifferentiated. In manifest, it is differentiated. Vyakte vyakritam. And here, this vyakrita prapanchaha, now let us take it. So first we accept avyakta avyakrita prapanchaha, unmanifest, undifferentiated universe is real. The same that universe alone becomes manifest later on as manifest differentiated universe. And in this manifest universe also, what is this manifest universe? Okay, forms, names and functions. And even the forms, names and functions can be categorized as what? Now the world or universe of twofold factors. Now what is the universe? What are these forms? What are these names indicating the forms? What are these functions are associated with these names? If you see, you can say that the means and the ends. The whole world can be said to be what now? Means and the ends. Karana karya rupam. Means and the ends alone form the universe. Means here means, we can say, the means of accomplishment, the means of attainment is called sadhanam. And the end accomplished is called sadhyam. Sadhyam means the end accomplished, achieved is sadhyam. And the sadhanam is what? The means of attainment. So the whole world of forms, names and functions can be reduced to two more words as what? Sadhanani and sadhyani. There are so many sadhanani and also sadhyani. So the manifest universe, the vyakta prapanchaha, always called vyakrita, vyakta vyakrita prapanchaha, the manifest world of objects, the differentiated, can be said to be what now? The world of sadhanani and sadhyani. So what are the sadhanani? Which means all these sadhanani, the means of accomplishment, are also what? Real. And the ends accomplished also are real. The world is manifest, universe is real means what? Forms are real, names are real, functions are real. Forms, functions and names are real means what? All the means of accomplishment, attainment are real. The ends accomplished are also real. Sadhanani are real. Sadhyani are also real. What are the sadhanani here? I tell you, all forms of actions are means. All forms of actions are the means. The results of actions are the ends. Karmani sadhanani. Karma palani sadhyani. Okay, the actions are the means, ends are the, okay, the results are the ends, sadhyani. Sadhanani, sadhyani. Why I use the plural word, you know that? Our life, we don't do only one action, okay? Life is so many actions and results. Now you can say, what is this manifest universe? Amazing. Only in this universe, you understand universe in a better way. This universe is nothing but means of accomplishment and the ends accomplished. You see this? Very beautifully put here. Sadhanani and sadhyani constitute the universe. What are the sadhanani? All forms of actions. And what are the sadhyani? Results of actions. This is what is life. The jagrat prapancha. The vyakta prapancha. Isn't it? What is manifest universe? Means and ends. In terms of actions and their results. So here, actions, we can say mundane activities. We can say religious activities and their results. But here in this Upanishad, we just take only the religious rituals as this, which stand for all forms of activities. So, performance of rituals, karmani, and their results. So, performance of rituals and practice of meditation. So, karma, performance of rituals and practice of meditation. So karma and upasanam, the many varieties of rituals and practice of upasanani, various meditations also prescribed, all of them form, they stand for sadhanani. Okay, taken to be real. So we can say, all these sadhanani can be looked upon as what? Sadhana prapanchaha. Sadhana prapanchaha means the manifest world of means of accomplishment. Understand? In terms of performance of rituals and the practice of meditations. So we don't need to discuss all the rituals. So Upanishad, for just to make us understand, see, to understand all the actions, it just takes only few rituals. It takes a few rituals. You understand all the rituals, just few rituals are taken here. Not in rituals, here only meditations are taken here. If you understand three meditations, what they are, it's enough to understand what all forms of meditations are and what all forms of actions are and all forms of rituals are. Just only three meditations are taken here as example to make us understand the limitations of the benefits of the actions and the limitations of the results, actions. It's exactly like when you boil the rice. In India, we say this because we cook a lot of rice, okay? When South India, especially staple food is rice, so we cook a lot of rice. And to see whether the rice is cooked, you don't need to go and check every rice, okay? You take one rice, you must be intelligent enough to understand the whole pot full of rice is cooked. You need to only take only one rice and squeeze and see. One rice is cooked means you understand the whole pot full of rice is cooked well. Similarly here, you don't need to perform all the rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda to know the limitations, to know the advantages. If you understand what is a ritual, what it can do, what it cannot do, you understand few. So Upanishad here, what it does, just to make us understand the limitations of actions and their results, it prescribes, not even the rituals, not even the actions, just three meditations. So Ashva Upasanam, Agni Upasanam and Udgita Upasanam, three meditations are prescribed here in the first three sections as a sample, as an example, to understand the advantages, the benefits and the limitations. What these rituals are, what actions are. Okay. So these three meditations stand for what now? Sadhana prapanchaha. Sadhana prapanchaha means what? Then the manifest world can be divided into two fold factors as sadhanani and sadhyani. Now, what about the results of the actions? Results of the benefits of the performance of rituals or practice of meditations. So, sadhyani, isn't it? So, sadhanam comes under the category of the manifest universe. And then, sadhyam also what? The results of rituals, results, the benefits of the actions also come under the category of the manifest world only. Because we enjoy here. Now, so what are all the benefits of the benefits, the results of actions, whether mundane activities or even the performance of rituals, results of the performance of rituals or results of practicing meditations. Very beautiful. People, you should not get any confusion, no confusion at all. People should make up their mind here. Why I should understand the truth, what is contemplation, even to move on to that, we should know the limitations of meditation also here. Okay? Upasanam. Upasana phalam. What is the practicing meditation? is also discussed here, isn't it? Comes under the Vyakta Prapancha only. And some results of actions are experienced, enjoyable, can have only in this very life. So, iha loke asmin janmani eva anubhuyamanani phalani. The results of actions, results of performance of rituals, the benefits of meditation, we can enjoy the benefits here in this life itself. And some of them, we can say, some results are to be enjoyed only after the death. Paraloka, after the death, some anubhuyamanani phalani. Some results are enjoyable right now here in this very life. Some results have to be enjoyed only after the death. We have this. Anyway, whatever is the results also part of what? Form part of the manifest differentiated world of objects. Is it clear now? Now in the fourth, let me come to the point now. In the fourth Brahmanam called Purushavidha Brahmanam, Upanishad introduces the sadhyam. Sadhyam means the benefit of practicing meditation or benefit of the performance of rituals. But instead of talking about all the rituals, as I told you, Upanishad need not talk about how many innumerable countless benefits are there, the results are there. They are talking about all the benefits, but straight away goes to the only one benefit, the most exalted benefit, the highest benefit, highest result that can be obtained as a result of practicing the ritual or the meditation. He talks about it. What is that? Attainment of the position of being the Hiranyagarbha. What is the highest benefit you can accomplish? Whether you do Shirasasanam, stand upside down, or do that, or something I want to do. I want to go here and give lectures there and talk there and meet people and then organize this program, organize that program, or do a business and see in manufacture and turnover and then results and the political power and the man. So many things people want to do. So many things people want to do. What will be the highest benefit, highest result one can have by performing rituals or practicing meditation or even doing any other mundane activity? It just goes straight to this one result is enough. We don't need to talk about this for this ritual, this result, for this meditation, this benefit, for this, if I do this, I'll get this much money. Don't need to talk about. Go to the highest of the benefits. So here, Upanishad very carefully introduces, talks about the benefits also. Only if you know the benefits. Why? Upanishad has to talk about the benefits of practicing meditation, so that people will become interested in practicing meditation. At the same time, Upanishad also wants people to move on from getting indulged only in this time-bound pleasures. It also talks about the limitations of the results of actions, so that we will move on to the Jnana Kanda, we'll become interested in studying the Upanishads. Both are presented here. But in this Purushavidha Brahmanam, we'll understand again Hiranyagarbha. Please remember, Hiranyagarbha is a title, one of the names attributed to the Lord. And who is Ishvara? Who is Ishvara again? Ishvara again is a qualification attributed to the very reality, the standpoint of the universe. So when you look at the entire universe, subtle manifestation as Ishvara, then the name given is Hiranyagarbha. That is main thing, meaning. There's also another meaning for Hiranyagarbha, that Hiranyagarbha is an exalted, elevated jiva. So for a person to become a Hiranyagarbha, to attain that Hiranyagarbha, enjoy that Hiranyagarbha position, the person must have been a jiva before, one must have done lots of punya karma. He must have neutralized his papams. It is very important for a person to do lots and lots and lots of punya karma, or to earn abundance of punyam, to neutralize the papa karma, thereby to accomplish this Hiranyagarbha position status. That is Hiranyagarbha status. And so that Hiranyagarbha is discussed here. Okay, the person who has done lots of punya, one must have performed lots of rituals or practiced lot of meditations, or he must have followed even karma upasana samuchaya, he must have also practiced meditation along with the performance of rituals, and somehow, or as mundane activities also, he must have done lot of punya karma for society. Somehow this person, because of his abundance of punyam, he has earned through righteous actions and he could neutralize his papam. Thereby this person, what now, all his indriyani have become devatas. For him, there is no indriya shakti. All his shaktis are what? Devatas only. Total powers. And therefore, for him, what is there is only Hiranyagarbha. He sees his himself being as the identical with Hiranyagarbha. And such a person, after the accomplishment, attainment of death, after the death also, he remains as Hiranyagarbha. Shastra talks about it. And here, Hiranyagarbha, that's why it is mainly, the whole concept is for understanding the Srishti. Now, this is the Hiranyagarbha, okay, it is discussed here. And here, how Upanishad presents here, instead of straight away talking about the glories, already we have seen so many virtues of Hiranyagarbha in the previous class, talking about the benefits of being the position of Hiranyagarbha, here first it is said, Upanishad talks about the limitations of a Hiranyagarbha. Even after having attained Hiranyagarbha status, still a person is only a jiva. What ordinary jiva has become an exalted jiva. Which means even meditation cannot remove the ajnanam. Understand? Meditation, even the Hiranyagarbha Upasana, even the meditations prescribed in the Upasana Kanda of the Upanishad, Upasana Kanda of the Veda, practicing the Upanishad meditations definitely will give you lots of other benefits. Within the realm of Artha Kama Dharma, they cannot remove ignorance. Upasana Phalam, the result of meditation, cannot help you remove your ignorance. Therefore, the person continues to be an Ajnani Jivaha. In spite of having uprooted himself, the vision is no more narrow understanding. He has he has expansion of the mind. He has the wide understanding, wide vision he has. Still Ajnanam is there. It's a highly refined, cultured person. But what is still there? Ignorance is there. Therefore, as long as ignorance is there, then samsara will continue. Samsara does not come to an end. And what is samsara here? Two Upanishads very beautifully, the very beginning of the mantra, Upanishad talks about two important factors. One is fear. Hiranyagarbha also is subject to fear. He is not free from fear. And the second problem he mentioned here is, Hiranyagarbha also has the problem of aratihi. Bhayam and aratihi. Two factors. Very important, okay? Bhayam means what? Fear. And aratihi, actually aratihi means being alone is also called aratihi. But here it's not being alone, it is called the sense of loneliness or a sort of self-non-acceptance. Okay, non-acceptance, self, non-acceptance of the self. We can say the sense of dissatisfaction, even as a highly refined individual, a highly civilized individual, even seeing oneself very clearly as with an expanded, the person of expansion, expanded minded, the wide understanding, the wide vision also, still the person is not subject to samsara. And these are two factors, fear, bhayam and aratihi. And we all have the problems. And Hiranyagarbha is said to be the creator. Hiranyagarbha is given the title as what? Creator of the universe. Hiranyagarbha is said to be the creator of the universe means what? Let me tell you. Why Hiranyagarbha has fear? Why Hiranyagarbha has aratihi? Even as, why is it? Because Hiranyagarbha himself is what? Himself has the beginning. Hiranyagarbha has been created. It means Hiranyagarbha created himself, manifested himself. Hiranyagarbha alone is in the form of the whole universe. Hiranyagarbha is there as the truth of everything when you say. Hiranyagarbha is also known as Sarvatmakaha. Sarvatmakaha. One who is known of everything. See, in Shastram, we understand Ishvara. Let us tell me first. Let me tell you why Hiranyagarbha is said to be the creator. Hiranyagarbha is the creator of the universe, but Hiranyagarbha has been created first. Created means Hiranyagarbha manifested himself in the name of the universe. See, when you take the reality, absolute reality, the ultimate truth, you look at the reality as the reality is Brahma. It's exactly like when you see the fire, you simply see the fire as the fire. Like you see the reality as the reality, the word used is what? Brahma. But you see the, when you look at the fire, along, when you see the fire, you also think of how powerful the fire is. This fire is endowed with the power of burning. You don't see two factors. What is, there's only fire in front of you. But you see the fire as the fire, Agni, simply. But you look at the Agni also paying attention to the power it is endowed with. Oh my God, this fire has the power of burning. Because you know already, it has the power, isn't it? It's only in your person, you see, you pay attention to what it can do, that seeing the fire with its power, you know, you should call it powerful fire, isn't it? The same way, you look at the reality as just the reality, it is, understand the reality as the reality, it is Brahma. The same reality, you understand, this reality is amazing. It is endowed with the power. And just look at it. It's a powerful reality. You give the title Ishvaraha. Understand? We don't see two factors here. Only one thing only is. What is the only reality? But you look at the reality as the one endowed with the power. Even though you see what you see in front of you is only one fire, but you appreciate the fire being endowed with the power of burning, then you call it a powerful fire. Similarly, what is only the reality and you don't appreciate. So, Upanishad helps us appreciate what? The power of the reality. When you look at the reality as a powerful reality, you give the title Ishwaraha, the Lord. Why the reality is Ishwara, the Lord? Because powerful. Shaktimat Brahma. Then what is the name given? Ishwaraha. And his Antaryamishwaraha is called what? Anadi. Anadi means beginningless, uncreated. Ishwara is uncreated anadi. And from this Ishwara alone, the powerful reality, what is Ishwara now? Powerful reality is given the Ishwara title. And from this Ishwara, the powerful reality, the power becomes manifest. The power becomes manifest, you called what? Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear, Hiranyagarbha now? Therefore, manifest, the power is manifest, that is what Hiranyagarbha means. We say what? That's why Ishwara is the cause, Hiranyagarbha himself is what? Created. And this Hiranyagarbha later on becomes the creator of the later creation. So, Virat. So, gross manifestation is possible only when there is subtle manifestation. Isn't it? Without a subtle manifestation, there cannot be gross manifestation. The gross universe is further manifestation, expression of the manifestation of knowledge is gross universe. Gross, the entire gross universe is expression of the manifestation of knowledge. And manifestation of knowledge is subtle universe. And the unmanifest universe is the reality with its power, Ishwara. Is it clear now? So, Ishwaraha you understood, Hiranyagarbha you understood, Virat also you understood. What is Virat? Virat is expression of, total expression of the manifestation of knowledge is Virat. And manifestation of knowledge is, reality in terms of knowledge is Hiranyagarbha. And unmanifest reality with its power unmanifest is called Ishwaraha. So Ishwara alone is Anadi. Hiranyagarbha has beginning. Therefore Hiranyagarbha will have end. Virat has beginning. Virat will have an end. Ishwara is nothing but the reality endowed with its power. Is it clear? All these lots of things I had to prepare you to go to the subject, the teaching, the class. To go to the mantra, I had to prepare you so much. So from the standpoint of the gross manifestation, the Virat, we look at the Hiranyagarbha as the creator. Creator status is attributed. And the standpoint of Ishwara, Hiranyagarbha itself is what? Created. You understand all these things? Therefore, and Ishwara's status also is what? Mithya. powerful reality alone is Satyam. I'm taking you step by step. Hope you're all with me. How many of you feel tired already or bored? A lot of preparation. Now, how Upanishad presents the story? It seems from Ishvara. Okay. Now, you know what is Ishvara. So, Hiranyagarbha manifested. Manifested himself. Then when he came, Hiranyagarbha looks around. And the Samashti, Hiranyagarbha, one total, one as a Samashti Hiranyagarbha alone is there. And he looks around. Nothing is there. Nothing is there. He alone is there. And then he looks at himself. He says, "Oh, Aham Asmi." Okay? Aham Asmi. He expresses an excitement. Aham Asmi, I am. I am. I know, I am. But I tell you, he looks around, then he doesn't see anything else. When he doesn't see anything else, he sees all alone by himself. When he's all alone by himself, he gets frightened. Fear comes. And why this fear comes? It's beautiful to his father, Upanishad, to say. Why there is fear? Even though it is not jnanam porsche, it's not the topic of knowledge is not yet come. But still, it's interesting to understand this. Why the fear? I'm all alone. The first manifestation, you see. Why fear? The fear, if there is fear, I'm alone. Nothing else is here, the fear comes for him. Then why there is a fear? Fear is not desirable. Fear causes discomfort. And the fear itself is because of the thinking that I will be destroyed by something else. I will be killed. I will be harmed by something else. It is the cause for fear. But here, if there's a fear, see, always have to see, the fear is there means there must be source of fear. Fear is possible only if there's a source of fear. Fear cannot be by itself. And the source of fear must be either myself or anything other than myself, isn't it? Somebody else or something else other than myself must be the source of fear. Now he looks around. Oh, there's no second thing. Nothing other than me. Only I am here. Therefore, there's no source of fear. The second thing is not there. Therefore, there can't be a source of fear. And when he understands this, it seems he becomes free from fear. So Upanishad states there, fear is always caused by, you know, seeing another thing other than oneself. The fear is caused by, Shastram says very clearly, as long as, you know, perception of duality is okay. Perception of duality is real for you. There will be fear. Dvitiyad hi bhayam bhavati. Dvitiyad vai bhayam bhavati. This sentence is very, no. Udaram antaram kurute athatasya bhayam bhavati. The statement in Taittiriya Upanishad also. So fear is because of seeing the second entity. Fear is there. Isn't it? First the fear. Only I'm introducing, okay, don't worry. It's going to be developed and you'll really enjoy it later on. It's the fear. Okay, fear is there. So source of fear must be, if I am here, other than myself, nothing else is there. And you know, so source of fear must be, anything other than myself means, then there's no other thing. Where there's a fear has no legitimacy, isn't it? Therefore, fear, he becomes free from fear. And the second thing, the interesting thing is aratihi. Aratihi, okay? That is why there's a fear in all of us. The fear is very natural. Because still ajnanam is there. The second thing, aratihi. Ratihi means enjoyment of pleasures. Enjoyment is called ratihi. Aratihi, there's absence of enjoyment. Absence of enjoyment means what? That is actually the sense of loneliness and also dissatisfaction. It's aratihi. Therefore, he needed something to enjoy. That is where the question of companionship comes. The emotional needs to the fear and bhayam and aratihi. Hiranyagarbha has these problems. Even if a person attains the Hiranyagarbha status, fear, ajnanam cannot be restored. As long as ignorance is there, so long will there be this duality will be there. And there will be fear, and there will be aratihi. The loneliness, dissatisfaction, and the fear, these two will give rise to all forms of problems, in sorrow, later on. Okay, which means Hiranyagarbha also is the samsari. Samsari means also is the jiva, the elevated jiva who goes through this problem of pairs of opposites. Okay, maybe not a different level. The fear cannot be resolved. The aratihi cannot be, bhayam cannot be resolved, aratihi cannot be resolved. These two have to be resolved. Then later on, Upanishad talks about, it's all preparation for the next class, okay. The next thing is, what are these are the limitations of Hiranyagarbha discussed in the Upanishad, in this section. The same section, Upanishad also talks about the glories of, glory means the titles, what all the virtues the Hiranyagarbha has. We should have seen other virtues in the previous class, but three special names, titles the Hiranyagarbha enjoys. You know, when Hiranyagarbha appeared first, and when he looked around, nothing was there, and he says, oh, I am. He says, Ahamasmi. Imagine how the movies they show. Ahamasmi. That is the excitement, isn't it? Oh, I am. Okay, that's why. And that is why in every human mind there is first and foremost knowledge. All the intellects put together is what? Hiranyagarbha, I told you. Isn't it? Now you can say every human intellect, every human mind has this unique special knowledge. The manifestation of knowledge called highest form of manifestation. In terms asmita, asmiti jnanam is there in every human mind. Why? First Hiranyagarbha had that. Upanishad presents it. Okay, aham asmi. Understand? That is why. And here every human being to refer to one's own self, first thing and first word, aham. I am. Always everyone has to say I am, I am, I am, I has to, we have to use expression I. The I is the one expression used by all the individuals all the time, reference to anything and everything they do, or I has been used. Therefore, this Hiranyagarbha alone is in the form of Asmita, the knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am in all the minds. Therefore, where is Hiranyagarbha? Hiranyagarbha is in the form of the knowledge I am in every mind. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha is said to be Sarvatmakaha. We have to understand Virat later on. Understanding Hiranyagarbha first. From here we had to move on to Isha, we had to go beyond that also truth. Hiranyagarbha alone is there as I am, the knowledge I am, I. Every time you say I is what? Virat. The word is Virat. Before the word there is Hiranyagarbha. Thought, cognition is what? Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear now? Therefore every human, that's why there is no human mind where Hiranyagarbha is not present. Your mind is Hiranyagarbha. The knowledge I am is what? Hiranyagarbha. Okay, is therefore in Upanishad gives the title to Hiranyagarbha as Aham. Aham means I is the name of a Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is Aham. Aham is the name of Hiranyagarbha. Isn't it beautiful to understand? I'm gradually taking you. Make you see how things are. Aham. Now here, whatever is the language, people, whatever language people speak, whatever culture they grow up in, and whatever geographical condition, in whatever geographical condition the people are living, doesn't matter. Whether a Stone Age person or people of the modern life, modern days, whoever is, every human being of any time must have used what? One expression, I. Human, that's why Hiranyagarbha, every Jagat Srishti means what? You know? First I comes. Don't go and search for Hiranyagarbha somewhere. Every time you say I, that I is what? Knowledge. Isn't it? Knowledge, the cognition, up to our thought itself is Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha's name in this Upanishad, in this Purushavidha Brahmana, the title given to him is what? Aham is his name. One important name. The second name given to Hiranyagarbha here is, I tell you, Purushaha. Purushaha. Purushaha? Why? Even the word Purushaha is used to mean Virat. The word Purushaha is used to mean even the Atma. But here Hiranyagarbha is also called Purushaha. Know why? The different meaning. There when you say Purushaha, one who fills everything is called Purusha. Sarvam Purayati iti Purushaha. Then Pure Ushati iti Purusha. One who resides in every being is also called Purushaha. But here another name is given. Purvam Aushat iti Purushaha. It's not my explanation. Upanishad gives this meaning. This Hiranyagarbha, once upon a time, before attaining this position, was an ordinary jiva. Now he is elevated jiva. As an ordinary jiva, what was he doing? He must have had a lot of papams. And to attain this Hiranyagarbha position, he really worked very hard. You know, he tried to live a life of dharma all the time. He tried to convert all the asuras into devas to attain his position. See, converting one's asura indriyani into deva indriyani. Is it to convert simply indriyani into devatas? Indriya means what? Isn't it? Not simple. So, by constantly, consciously living a life of dharma and performing all forms of rituals and practicing upasanas and doing all forms of good work, all the to earn abundance of punyam, to utilize all the papa karma, this person must have worked very hard. Which means he earned lot of punyam, and with the punyam has got all his previously done papams burnt. Thereby, now he is a purified jiva, relatively highly purified jiva. He is called Purushaha. So, Purvam Aushat. Mean, Aushat means burnt. Oshaha means fire, okay? And here, Aushati means burns. Aushat means burnt. So, Purvam Aushat means the one has got all his results of wrong actions burnt by accumulating new abundance of punyam. The one has got all his previously accumulated papams burnt by earning lots of new punyam is called Purushaha. Purvam Aushateti Purushaha. Purvatanam Papakarmam Aushat. What does this mean? The one who by his accumulation of punyam got all his old papams burnt, thereby now he is Purushaha. See, clear? This is the next title. Next name, Aham, and next, I really like the name Aham, okay? Purushaha. Only one more, I tell you, then stop the class. In this section, in this Purushaveda Brahmanam, the Hiranyagarbha is given three different names. One is Aham, one is Purushaha, and the third name given is Srishtihi. Srishtihi. Srishtihi means what? Creation. Otherwise, it is also called Vishwam, universe. It is this Hiranyagarbha alone, even though Hiranyagarbha is the effect from the standpoint of Ishvara. Hiranyagarbha is the cause from the standpoint of Virat. Hiranyagarbha is the created from the standpoint of Ishvara. Hiranyagarbha is the creator from the standpoint of the gross manifestation. Therefore, and it is Hiranyagarbha alone manifested himself as the universe. Why Hiranyagarbha created? He felt very lonely. As beautifully it is given, the Upanishad gives a story here. Hiranyagarbha, when he appeared, all alone himself. I am. I am. Nothing else is here. Isn't it? So he felt very lonely. No, therefore he wanted to have something to keep himself busy, in good humor. Therefore, he created the universe. Is it clear now? Created the universe. Therefore, he is creator of what? The gross. Hiranyagarbha created means, if for want of expression, we say Hiranyagarbha created the universe. What is the universe here? This entire, that is how the universe has become manifest. Understand? And this is created means Hiranyagarbha manifested himself as the universe. And Srishti is going to be given differently. Not like Srishti given in Taittiriya is different. Srishti given in other Upanishads is different. In this Upanishad, the Srishti creation is presented very differently. Because the whole gross universe is what? Manifestation. The Hiranyagarbha manifested is the gross universe, which is Virat. I use expression, expressed. Expression. The Virat means, therefore Hiranyagarbha is given a different name, Vishwam or Srishtihi. We don't say creator, the whole creation is manifestation of knowledge, which is Hiranyagarbha. Knowledge manifest is Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear now? The whole universe is what now? Hiranyagarbha manifested is the Virat, Vishwam. It's a creation. You say, Srishtihi. In Puranas, we look at this Hiranyagarbha as the creator. Now, one thing, Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions, even Hiranyagarbha has fear. That is why we all have fear. And Hiranyagarbha discovers Aham Asmi, so we all have this. Aham Asmi, the knowledge I am. You know, as long as we see a second thing, there will be fear. Even as long as we see Bhagavan, the Lord, God, as other than oneself, there will be fear. I tell you. We may think, oh, Bhagavan is the creator of everything. Bhagavan is the sustainer of everything. So how can Bhagavan be a source of fear? But we should not forget the fact Bhagavan is also the source of resolution, the one who brings about an end to all the forms, names and functions which are brought into existence, which enjoy existence, and the same Bhagavan in the form of time brings an end to all the forms, names and functions also. Samhara Murtihi. Bhagavan is not simply, Bhagavan is also a Samhara Murti in the form of time. Bhagavan is also a source of resolution also. Layakarta also is Bhagavan. Not only Bhagavan is the Srishtikarta, Sthitikarta, he also Layakarta, which means even God will be a source of fear as long as you look at Bhagavan as something separate other than yourself. Is it clear? So today we understood two important problems of Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha has bhayam aratihi, fear and the sense of dissatisfaction caused by loneliness. Okay? And then Hiranyagarbha has three different special names: Aham, Purushaha, Srishtihi or Vishwam. Why three different names? You know this. Okay? I only introduced the, created the, some understanding to understand what is said in the text. Okay? We'll continue with the actual content next class.
You said, Hiranyagarbha was alone and he became fearful. And at the same time, later on you said,
fear is because I can
fear comes when you are in duality. Then there is a second thing. You are fearful of the second thing.
Yes. What is understood, doctor? What I'm saying,
it seems to be contradictory.
No contradiction. What I'm saying, the knowledge, see, I am, the knowledge is there. Okay. He looks around, nothing else is there. First he gets frightened. The fear comes. But that only made him understand. You know, second, other than myself. What is the source of fear? Why there is fear? In loneliness also there will be fear, doctor. We have to understand.
Yeah.
See, in loneliness there is fear. But there's a second thing other than myself is also, there's a source of fear. You start asking the question, is there a source of fear? If there is a fear, there must be source of fear. And what is the source of fear? And you have to understand, there is no second thing other than myself. Therefore, there is a second source of fear is not there. Cannot be. Therefore, it doesn't resolve the fear. Fear is possible in loneliness. The fear is possible in your perception, if the second thing is really there, it is a source of fear. In your perception, the loneliness also is fear, doctor. That's why loneliness has been converted into being alone. The oneness of the truth has to be understood. There's a subtle difference is there, I'll tell you. People feel very insecure when they can't be by themselves. Understand? Where there is ignorance, loneliness is not enjoyable. You know, a lot of fear. And the fear can cause any amount of, you know, it can play with your mind. That is why uncontrollably you people behave. What they write, what they speak, and then they don't know what they express in their words. Sometimes, we are very pity the mind. Psychology, amazing. Psychology is so beautifully analyzed here. We'll talk next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.